Hey everyone, this is Daniel.
And I'm June.
And we are
Korean
American. June.
Yep.
It's another sad day today. I mean, it was from like a couple weeks ago, but just a few days ago, it was announced that Akira Toriyama, the originator and creator of Dragon Ball, passed away.
Do you know how he passed away? Do you know how old he was?
68, I believe. And it was something subdural hematoma, which I actually am familiar with what a hematoma is because, yeah, my youngest daughter had one at birth. But it's basically blood swelling in the brain. And I think the important thing is whether it's between the outside of the skull and the head or the outer skin, or if it's under the skull, which is more dangerous. But basically, it's some sort of bleeding in the head, I think.
I see.
Yeah. But it was
sad.
It's very sad because, you know, we're planning a trip to Japan in a couple weeks. And the number one thing my son wanted to do was to, like, maybe see Akira Toriyama, which, you know, not likely or possible, but do as many Dragon Ball related things as possible. His favorite thing in the world, by far, it's like not even close, is Dragon Ball. He loves Dragon Ball. Every question out of his mouth is Dragon Ball related. You know, who do you think would win between like this fusion and that fusion? Or, oh, did you know this like Dragon Ball thing, like some reference I can't really follow? And yeah, he really loves it. And, you know, he's still young, so he doesn't quite understand, I think. But yeah, he was very sad when I told him. And anyway, it's like not only him, I know. He was a legend in the whole like anime, you know, industry, manga industry, and just a titan of his field. Anyway, I was really affected because, again, it's such a passion of my son's, and it brings him so much just joy and energy.
Yeah.
And he just loves it. He's reread the entire series we bought for him, you know, at least five times through. Every, hey, Jeremy, what do you want for birthday? What do you want for Christmas? Always Dragon Ball related. So, you know, I just know he brought so much just passion and joy and creativity to the world that, yeah, it's really tragic. So,
another point that I can feel a very striking difference between Korean and American culture is that the death of this author has impacted a lot of Koreans as well, because this is like a very essential culture of my generation growing up. So I was surprised when I learned that you've never watched Dragon Ball growing up, because have you lived and grew up in Korea in your generation?
Yeah,
you must have definitely read
it,
Dragon Ball. Yeah,
I never read it. I read it along with my son, and I held out for a long time, but he insisted. And, you know, I try to do things so I can talk to him, relate to him. Yeah, so I read the whole Dragon Ball series, and every episode, like every book, he was honestly like reading over my shoulder because he was so excited to see my expression, my reaction, have me read along with what he loves and so much. And what he, you know, I would read a chapter. He'd be like, oh, what'd you think about that? Could you believe that happened? He was like, oh, I can't wait for this scene. Like, I want to see how you react to it.
Because when I was growing up, I was still growing up in the era when Dragon Ball Z still hasn't been finished yet.
Oh, so you like live releases,
yeah,
you would get the next drop,
yeah,
right? Oh, interesting.
And you know a crazy thing is that was early 90s, right? Dragon Ball was the first, as far as I know, the first Japanese anime that was legalized to be published in Korea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because Japanese pop culture was illegal for a very long time in Korea.
Yeah,
for, you know, what reason.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was so popular that it was the first, I guess, anime to be legalized.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
along with, I think, Slam Dunk.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was just a movie release in Korea,
yes,
right, pretty recently with Slam Dunk.
Yeah, it hit a lot of like nostalgic feelings for my generation. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say, again, growing up in the U.S., I'm trying to think. Again, I already said on a previous episode, I think Sailor Moon was released and like watchable in the U.S., but I don't think any other Japanese anime was available on like network television. I may be wrong there, but it for sure was not. Oh, sorry. Power Rangers? No, that was like the US remake of the very famous Japanese one. And then, of course, another one is like Pokemon, but I think I just missed that. That might have become popular when I was a little older. So yeah, my personal first, I guess, overlap with anime, I call it anime still, was Naruto. Naruto like was very popular in my college days.
Yeah.
And then I watched a lot of things after that, like, you know, Cowboy Bebop and some others come to mind. But yeah, my sister was a little bit into comic books in general. But again, comic books in the US were mostly like DC and Marvel, right? So
curious to know, what's the perception in America for people who watch and consume Japanese anime? Because there is a perception in Korea too.
It is changing now. Surprisingly, I think, for example, like NBA players, they love Naruto, right? Like, I think they also, you'll see kids running around like the Naruto run where like your arms are behind you.
I'm not a
Naruto fan.
Yeah, I've never watched Naruto.
There was one like meme where it was like Goku patting, like, it was Naruto, I think the One Punch Man guy, and I think the person from One Piece. Right, it's like passing on the generation. I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but like passing the torch to the next generation of like popular animes and the popular series. Again, I know it's manhwas, but for me, anime is the whole genre, even though that's just the animation part of it.
So you're saying watching Japanese animes are not associated with being
now,
a nerd?
Yeah, so now it's mainstream. Definitely before, it's kind of like, is the term weebo or like just... just like kind of nerdy, you're in your basement, you're awkward, you don't make friends, but you love like anime.
Yeah.
And this that subculture, that definitely was the stigma before.
Yeah.
Like, you're a nerd, you're dorky if you love anime. But definitely, whatever, 20 years later, it's become quite mainstream.
I think in Korea, it's pretty similar too. But I think, I want to say, Korea in general has more exposure to Japanese pop culture.
For sure, yeah.
Dragon Ball or Slam Dunk, those are very mainstream. So there were, like, everyone just read it. So there were no special perception towards people who read the comic book.
Like, those are so popular that everyone did it. It was mainstream.
Yeah, okay. But there are always, like, one or two guys in your classroom who are, like, really, really into Japanese culture.
Yeah.
Like, listen to J-pop.
Yeah.
And then watch like these animes that you've never heard before.
Yeah.
We call them otaku.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
It's a Japanese term, right?
Yeah.
Like, hardcore fan, I think. Common stigma is that they wear glasses. They're usually overweight.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they're always, and they somehow picked up Japanese.
Oh, they
just
of course
by just by consuming.
Watching or reading.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways.
There is a stigma too. I won't maybe get into it. Yeah. But basically, people who love Japanese culture, there's a stigma around that.
Yeah.
And I would say growing up too, Japan in the US had a very, I'd say generally a very positive association. You know, I think Sega Genesis or Japanese technology, right? The Sony Walkman, all this stuff. So I think there was a general positive perception of Japan, and anything Japanese equals quality. So from that perspective, yes. But in general, anyone who loved, I guess, Asian culture, it just wasn't popular back then. Jun, were you otaku? You love Japanese culture.
I never consumed Japanese pop culture. I never listened to J-pop or anime. I wasn't into... I guess I was more into just like tech in general. So there was an area in my hometown, Daegu, where there were these, what do you call them? In Korea, we call them bottarisang. People who would just like illegally buy a lot of stuff from Japan and like bring it back in.
Okay.
And then just
resell it for profit.
Yeah. There were areas, like sketchy areas in my hometown.
Yeah, I call it like the underground market for like Japanese goods.
Where they would sell these. And I think I got like a Panasonic MD.
Oh, so when you got your MD player, it was like kind of sketchy to have one.
Sketchy and cool at the same time.
And cool, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you said you were known as like the guy with the MD player.
I was known, were like one or two guys in the entire school.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
No, let's, June, I wanted to hear, like, you said you grew up with Dragon Ball Z, right? And what other, again, I keep calling it animes, but like mangas or animes, did you read or watch? And I guess, how did it influence your perception of Japan at all? I guess, yeah.
Mm. I think, I don't know, back then when Japanese comic books were imported to Korea, still the Korean government, that was a time when they were very cautious about Japanese culture invading Korea. It's very a lot of regulation. So even if there were some parts that were very heavily infused with Japanese culture, they would edit it out a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Translate all the Japanese names to Korean.
Oh, wow. Yeah, even to that extent.
So Slam Dunk, their characters, my generation growing up, we all know them by Korean names.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Even Dragon Ball, their names are like Goku.
Yeah.
It's translated into Korean. Uh-huh. So we call it...
Goku's not Goku?
Sonogong.
No way.
But there is a meaning to that because the whole Dragon Ball saga, the basis of it is based on like a Chinese folklore.
That I didn't know either. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like a monkey character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's like a little monster character and a pig character. Oh. And it's like a traditional Chinese folklore, which Korean people all kind of know.
Yeah, so it's taking the Chinese folklore name in Korean.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a side note too, but Pokemon are named differently in, I think, Japan, well, Korea and the US.
Yes, yeah, in Japan too, I think. Yeah.
Like the most famous one is what, Squirtle? He's just Gobogi in Korea.
Gobogi.
Oh, it's not just turtle?
But pronounced in a cute way. Gobogi.
But spelled, it's spelled differently?
It's spelled differently.
What? I didn't pick up on that. So I literally was just like, oh, it's just calling him turtle, but it's like a cute name for turtle.
Yeah, the actual turtle is pronounced as Gobogi.
Oh, my Korean's so bad still. I never picked up on that.
Yeah.
I thought it was just straight up turtle. I see. So it's like cute turtle.
Cute turtle. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But anyway, he's Squirtle in the US, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. Yeah. They're all named differently. So it's sometimes it's confusing when I talk to other Koreans about Pokemons. Yeah.
Because I think the Pokemon characters are named after what they kind of do, their characteristics.
Yeah.
So if you just like literally just take the Japanese pronunciation, it has like little meaning.
Yeah.
So that's why
they try to translate that meaning too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So the animes or Japanese comics that I watched growing up, surprisingly, I didn't watch Slam Dunk when I was growing up.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I only watched the movie recently.
Which you said was good. I heard it was good.
It's very good. Mm-hmm. And I'm a minority in that, especially the guys growing up back then. They all watched Slam Dunk.
Really?
Yeah. I think I watched some other things related to baseball, tennis and all that.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I didn't watch Slam Dunk.
Was basketball popular back then? Like, was Michael Jordan already around when Slam Dunk came
out? It's so interesting.
No, right?
Because there was an era where basketball was super popular in Korea.
Yeah.
And it's not because of Michael Jordan.
It's Slam Dunk.
It's because of Slam Dunk.
Because you're saying, do you think Slam Dunk came out before Michael Jordan? Did they like coincide?
Ah, that's an interesting question.
Anyway.
Similar era.
Okay.
I think Slam Dunk was also influenced by Michael Jordan, right?
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
It must have been.
It must have been.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What else? 짱구, 짱구는 못 말려?
No, don't know.
I think the Japanese name is 크레용 신짱.
Another very famous Japanese manga.
It started off as an adult comic book.
Okay.
But the main character is a child, which is very Japanese.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
But you'll probably recognize it when you see it.
Uh-huh.
Shinosuke, this guy.
Oh, yeah. I recognize this guy. Yeah.
I watched this growing up. And then a lot of other One Piece. I watched a little bit.
Oh, so you did. Is One Piece old? I feel like it's new.
It still hasn't ended.
It's still going.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's like The Simpsons, just like 30 years, 25 years.
I didn't keep up. I gave up somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
So many things. Yeah.
But, again, you know, One Piece now is very famous because there's a Netflix, I think, adaptation of it. And
that's
how I think a lot of Western cultures or Westerners are getting exposed to it through that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never heard of One Piece.
Yeah. I heard it's good, the Netflix one.
Yeah, yeah.
What else is there? So many other things that, like, American people wouldn't even recognize. Like, basically, all the cartoons that my generation watched growing up were either Disney or Japanese.
Japanese, yeah.
But I want to say 70% Japanese.
Japanese, wow.
Yeah.
I do have to shout out the other ones because my sister was very, again, into Japanese culture. Mm-hmm. She lived in Japan mm-hmm. for a bit. Mm-hmm. She spoke better Japanese than Korean. Mm-hmm. Again, like fun slash sad fact, she actually communicated with my grandparents in Japanese mm-hmm. because, you know, that was totally. The best common language for both of them. But she also introduced me to, I think, Ranma One Half was something I loved to read. I had the whole collection. I spent all my precious allowance mm-hmm. or yongdon, mm-hmm. right, on Ranma One Half mm-hmm. books. Mm-hmm. And then the other one I really loved watching, I think I watched the whole way through, was Hikaru no Go, like the Go Stop, the Baduk one.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah.
And then now it's all coming back to me. Meizan Aikoku. It's like was another one I think I read all the way through.
Again, you have to explain to me because Koreans know it by the Korean translated title.
And then Fruits Basket. Meizan Aikoku, I think, I honestly don't remember the plot. I think it was kind of more mature themed. Like there was no fighting. It was like a old lady house, like she was the jipjuin, like the owner of this, like, I don't know, tenants. And it's just a story of their tenants' lives. To be honest, I don't remember much about it. I just remember reading it all. Mm. So
that triggers two other comic books that I watched. One is, I don't know the Japanese title of this again, Yorewang Biryong.
Uh-huh.
It's a Japanese anime, but the character and the setting is old time China.
Mm.
And it's a cooking comic
book. Oh, about cooking.
Yeah. Oh, and the sushi, Chobabang, Mr. Chobabang.
You're saying this like I would know it, but I don't.
Yeah, because like all the Korean people know. Like, it's crazy, about sushi.
Yeah.
Sushi making. Mm. And also, 소년 탐정 김전일.
Okay.
It's about this high school detective solving like actual murder crimes.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know where I wanted to go with this episode, but...
we have to talk about Dragon Ball. What's your favorite episode in Dragon Ball?
So I've never watched animes. I've only read the books.
Yeah, I've only read the books too.
Oh, okay. That's so interesting. When you say episode, I immediately think of like an animation. Whereas like what volume of the book is your favorite?
Because Dragon Ball is... You can divide it into different episodes based on who the main supervillain is.
Oh, the sagas.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Western audiences would think that way. It's like each book is a volume.
Mm.
Again, Dragon Ball Z is, I think, like 16 through 42.
Yes.
So those 26 volumes are broken up into different episodes, you're saying.
See, that's very foreign to me as a Korean. We never divided
by volume
from what 1 to 16 and then 16 to 42.
42, yeah.
We recognize it as 1 to 42.
And then you're saying there's different... Well, I think what you're calling episodes, we would call sagas.
Okay, sagas.
Like the Cell Saga.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Can you... I just read them, but I'm so bad. This is so funny because my son asks me all the time, like, what's your favorite like part of the story?
Yeah.
I'm trying to teach him like themes of like, you know, Vegeta's just power hungry. Mm-hmm. But in the end, he's like, you know, what's the character development of them?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be honest, Jun. This is where I'm not a huge fan of Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fairly simplistic and kind of, I hesitate to say, dumb plot. Because their power just keeps escalating. It's a scaling issue.
Yeah.
They just become too powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
They can start off like barely fighting each other. Then they can blow up planets easily.
Come on, this is crazy.
But anyway, nonetheless, it's highly entertaining and my son loves it. So that's why I love it too.
Do you know, like a little bit of side note, do you know the Saiyans?
Yeah, Super Saiyans.
The Saiyan, I guess, tribes, they're all named after a vegetable.
Oh, I think there's like a food theme throughout the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like one of the person's name is Broly. It's probably related to like broccoli.
Yeah.
Or
and then
like,
Vegeta is vegetable.
Goku means rice. One of them means rice.
But his Saiyan name is Kakarot.
Yeah, Kakarot, which is carrot, right?
Yeah. And there's radish.
Yeah. Yeah. This part I love. I love these like more inside joke type things.
But anyways, my favorite saga is...
Jun, what's your favorite saga?
I'm trying to decide between the two.
Yeah.
I think my favorite one is the Frieza.
Frieza, yeah.
Frieza
yeah.
one. In Korea, we call it Prido.
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 Oh.
Yeah.
Instead of Ningdongshi.
Yeah, because he's like, yeah, there's like the vegetable naming, and then there's the instrument, musical instrument naming. And
what's then the musical instrument naming?
Like piccolo and all that, yeah.
Oh, piccolo's the piccolo, the instrument. Yeah, yeah. Like pickle or something. Okay. Mm.
Yeah, and okay, my favorite one is the Frieza one, and then Cell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cell was one of the last ones.
Cell is...
I don't remember.
The last one is Majin Buu. Majin Buu.
Oh, yeah. Buu. I don't like the Buu one. Mm. I thought that was a little silly. Mm-hmm. And also at that point, like, Buu was just too powerful. I don't know. There's power scaling. Who was the original villain? The prelude is Goku fighting Piccolo, right? I think for
Earth. Think the I didn't very first villain is, again, Korean, Umawang.
Oh.
The guy with the glasses.
I didn't read 1 through 16. I only read Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, okay, okay.
So when I started reading, Piccolo and Goku had already fought, and Goku had won.
Mm,
yeah, yes. So I started reading there. I think the first evil villain was Frieza.
Wait, wasn't Piccolo evil? He was evil too.
He was starting evil, but then by the time I had started reading,
mm.
him and Goku, like Goku had already established dominance, so Piccolo wasn't a threat. Mm. And ultimately, they ended up fighting together.
Yeah.
I think I like the one where Vegeta... I like origin stories. Mm-hmm. So whatever the first saga was,
mm-hmm.
I think it might have been Frieza.
Mm.
I like that one the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the one that where they go to a different planet, right?
No, that was the middle one. I think the first one where someone comes to Earth.
And oh, that one. Him.
Yeah.
That one, yeah. Because Vegeta is a subordinate of Frieza.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So that one I like the best. I think the power hadn't gotten out of control at that point.
Mm.
And, you know, I think Vegeta has a nice turnaround in that too at the very end.
Yes. So,
yeah, that's the one I like. Like his desire to fight Kakarot. Like he wanted to defeat Kakarot on his own, and that drove him to do something else.
Vegeta is my favorite character in Dragon Ball.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Because he's
why is that?
I think he's more complex than Goku.
Yeah, Goku's just pure good and naive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Vegeta too. I think he has probably the best character arc and the most development throughout the series.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I like the Frieza saga because they're fighting a different planet. Like the scenery is very odd.
Yeah.
I like how Goku is training under different like levels of gravity.
Oh yeah.
And you know, like the suspense of him like flying to the different planet.
Oh yeah,
when's while he gonna training get there? In the spaceship, and then he finally arrives, and like he's so powerful.
That was good too. Yeah, and the people on the other planet are basically like trying to hold out until Goku gets there. Yeah.
And then how like Frieza has different like phases of like I don't know mutation.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. Yeah,
that was cool. I agree. That's a good one, too. I think that's probably my second favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
I just really didn't like the last one. It's just...
Oh, and then, like, the moment where he first becomes Super Saiyan, that moment is so, like, it's so full of emotion. You know how, like, Krillin, his best friend, he dies.
Oh, Kuren. Yeah.
That's how it triggers his, like, whatever, rage. Yeah.
I think as a father, too, Gohan has some good moments too because right, he's a little boy but he has to grow up and like Goku believes in him and things like that. So
I heard as like a backstory from the Cell saga, the author wanted to transition the main character from Goku to Gohan.
Oh yeah.
But then there were so many backlashes from the public, so he had to like bring him back again.
Keep Goku in it.
Because you know how like it ends the Cell saga?
Yeah.
Goku dies.
Yeah.
And then Gohan is the one who defeats the character, the main villain. And so he was planning on transitioning the main character to Gohan and then go on again. But
he was too popular.
Yeah.
Audience backlash.
Yeah.
June, I can tell from your recollection of this.
Mm.
Yeah, this definitely was like an integral part of your childhood.
Yes.
Like it's like core memories reading this and the, oh, this happened. Can you believe he went Super Saiyan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas for me, it's more, I read it so recently, but it was purely just from like, okay, let me figure out the story so I can like talk to it and engage with my son.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, it has no meaning.
I see. Every time I was like, every day when I was playing at the playground with my friends, we always had a character.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. You would be like, oh, I'm going to be Goku. Yeah. You'd be Trunks or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, the closest thing to that was maybe Naruto. Naruto. Like, I still remember the moment when, like, there's a character in there, I think Rock Lee, and you don't know, but the entire whatever first half up to that point, he underneath his clothes, he has these weights, like very heavy weights.
Yeah.
And then you don't know this, but then one episode, like, you find out he has them and he drops them.
Oh.
And it's like, that's probably the moment, for example, for you when, like, he goes Super Saiyan for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's like, Rock Lee had weights the whole time and he drops them and he's super fast now. Right? It's like a big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's cool.
Mm. And one thing I also wanted to mention about Japanese anime is that for some reason, it always has like a slightly hentai sexual thing in it, even when it was made for children, right?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yep. Like in the very early episodes of Dragon Ball, the female character, she keeps on showing her underwear.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
And then, like, the Grandmaster guy who has the turtle thing.
Oh, he's kind of like a perv, right?
He always, he always
it's a snot.
Bleeds from his nose.
Yeah. Or you can bribe him with, like, you know, dirty pictures or something.
Yeah, I think it's a very Japanese culture thing.
Yeah.
For some reason, they always have little scenes of, like,
mature themes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That go over the heads of kids, I think. They don't even pick it up. June, I also wanted to talk about webtoons a bit because I think it's a super common thing in Korean culture and society, right? Webtoons are just online cartoons that, again, are like vertically scrolling, right? And but I see people reading them all the time.
The subway.
On the subway. That's like every, you know, whatever. Half the people are either playing games or they're reading webtoons. And again, it's just non-existent in the U.S. I think Korean companies are trying to make a push into it. But just talk about webtoons in general and how significant they are in Korean society. Because I think it's a huge factor in a lot of things.
Yeah, it is a huge factor. I'm not a webtoon fan myself.
Oh, you don't read webtoons?
Yeah, but I think it's a very integral part of Korean creative culture. Because a lot of, like, the recent Netflix series, they're all based off of webtoons.
Yeah.
Which was the 살인자 난감. Do you know what that is? Or, like, Moving? Have you watched Moving?
Yeah, Moving. Yeah, of course.
That was a very, very famous webtoon.
Yeah. I wanted to get into this. I think the majority, I'd say, of Korean dramas are adapted from webtoons now. Yeah. I think the equivalent in the U.S. would be books. I think most popular, successful Western media now, it's all from books, right? The stories or the characters, it's all taken from books directly.
Dune, right?
Yeah, Dune, for example, whatever, Pachinko, like there's all these examples, right? Whereas I think the equivalent in Korea is webtoons. That is like the core, I guess, what culture of where these stories originate from and are coming from. So,
yeah.
I think it's great. Yeah. I mean, I want to get into them, but
I don't have a webtoon app installed on my phone, and I think I'm a minority in that.
Yeah. I at least wanted to just touch on that though, right? Because a lot of people, myself included, I'm quite disappointed with how, like, Western movies and cinema and media, it just seems to be remakes of previously done things, or updates or the sequel to whatever, right? And there's nothing new or original.
Yes.
And I think the newer or original stories and plots come from books in the U.S. Whereas, again, I think in Korea, it's this webtoon platform.
Yeah.
And it's really enabled people to, you know, come up with an idea and get it out there. So, yeah, I think it's great.
Have you ever watched a webtoon before?
What do you mean by watch a webtoon? read a webtoon?
Read a webtoon, yeah.
I have not, no. I don't have a webtoon app myself. Yeah.
So there are two major webtoon platforms in Korea, one's by Naver and one's by Kakao. I think Kakao or Naver, they're both doing well in Japan. And also they're trying to make it into the US market.
Yeah.
They're relatively successful compared to other endeavors that Naver was trying to make into the US market.
Yeah.
I heard that the Naver webtoon office in the Bay Area, they have like 300 employees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty significant. Yeah.
I think what comics and cartoon culture in general, and I think that's a difference, right? Comics were typically maybe more mature, right? But in the US, it was dominated by DC and Marvel, right? Like as the comic books that get released. But cartoons for me were always associated with kind of kiddie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also Sunday morning, like, or the newspaper would have cartoons,
mm-hmm.
right? Some famous ones were like Family Circus.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my personal favorite, I love Calvin and Hobbes. Mm-hmm. So that's my kind of all-time favorite comic,
mm-hmm.
Is Calvin and Hobbes. But yeah, I'm curious in general, like, how do Koreans think of like cartoons? Because they seem more, I'm trying to get at, it seems more integrated and mainstream.
Mm.
In general,
mm-hmm.
just like I think in the US, people think of comics and cartoons as, oh, that's so childish. Mm. It's for little kids and not for grownups.
But, yeah. I think it's generally acceptable for adults to consume comic books or cartoons.
Mm.
I think East Asia in general, they have a little bit of like cutesy.
In general. The society is okay with
that. Yeah. So there's no negative connotation of an adult watching cartoons. Although mm-hmm. if they watch it too hardcore, they would call them otaku.
yeah.
So the way in which my generation, we consume comic books is that there was always these comic book rental shops,
mm-hmm.
like the video rental shops that we were talking about in LA Koreatown.
Yeah.
The next generation of video rental shops in Korea were the comic book rental shops.
Oh.
So I always used to borrow comic books from these comic book rental shops.
Yeah.
That's how at least my generation consumed all the Japanese comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The interesting thing about Japanese comic books is that you read it from right to left.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's like all, it's throughout the Dragon Ball books. It's like, read this way, read this way.
So you exactly know that it's from Japan. By knowing where the cover is.
Oh, yeah.
Not
yeah.
on the...
It's on the right side or left side.
It's on the right side,
yeah.
And there was a little sliver of Korean comic books as well. Very old school Korean comic books. Agigongyeong Dulli.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what it is?
No.
The little dinosaur character.
Oh.
I think it was one of the most famous, successful comic books.
In Korea?
From Korea. Mm. I used to read that a lot. 달려라 하니? Yeah. So majority of the comic book culture was from Japan.
Yeah.
We didn't have like American comic books. American comic books were always consumed in the form of cartoons, like animations.
Yeah. Again, I would say the similar thing in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it was big enough to become an animation, then mm-hmm. that's what got shipped to the US. Yeah.
The way I understood what comic book culture was like in the U.S. is through Big Bang Theory. Yeah. And like how they went to the comic book store.
Yeah.
And they're very thin, right?
They're very thin. Yeah. That's the difference. They're like bigger and mm-hmm. super thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, I feel like they're flimsier. Like it's just like very thin paper. Yeah.
And they're usually in color.
Yeah, very much. Oh, is that not true in Korea?
I guess Japanese comic books, they're usually black and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I don't know enough about the history of U.S. animation. I'd mm-hmm. say similar, right? Mickey Mouse started that way, but then he became colorized. I don't know. Yeah.
Even the ones that are coming out right now, they're, I guess...
Black and white is common.
Culturally, traditionally, more commonly black and white.
Mm. Yeah, now that you mention it, all of the Dragon Ball Z's I read... Yeah, they were black and white.
Mm.
Yeah.
It feels very awkward to me when they're in color.
Yeah, I mean, it would feel awkward for me if a Japanese manga mm-hmm. was colored.
Yeah,
I assume it's black and white.
Because in my mind, the colors are more richer. Do you know what I mean?
Because
it was black and white and you can imagine what it was.
It's a different feel. Like, it's more real. It's less, color makes it more realistic, mm-hmm. I feel like, mm-hmm. rather than like comic-y, right?
Yeah.
And like fun and an escape versus like reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it would be weird for an American modern comic to be black and white. Yeah, I think it should be colored. Mm. I wish I could have my sister on for this episode because she was much more into comic book culture in the US. And anyway, but yeah, I think that's the episode for today.
Okay.
Yeah. Rest in peace,
Akira
Toriyama. And just know that you meant a lot to
mm-hmm.
people all over the world and my son included. So, and June as well. Thanks for listening. You know, like, comment, subscribe. This episode was a little bit more impromptu,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully it was interesting and hopefully you learned something and found it entertaining at the very least. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
/ watching. Bye.
Bye. Wait, we have to tie it back to the episode.
Oh.
Our ending. I wish you guys could all find your own Dragon Balls. Are there seven?
Seven Dragon Balls, yeah. If we could collect the Dragon Balls, we'd wish everyone listened to our podcast. How about June? What if one day someone creates a webtoon about us?
Oh, wow. I don't think that'll be successful.
Zero viewers.
Yeah.
Should we pay someone to make a webtoon about our lives?
Our lives or our episodes?
Both.
I don't know if my life is that interesting.